Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. And today, we welcome Bryce Austin into the Cigar Lounge. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe.
Glad to have you here. Bryce, if you would, I know it's technology related, but let people know a little bit about what it is you do. What's your lane?
Sure. I am in cybersecurity. I started my own company helping other companies with cybersecurity in 2016. I've been involved in cybersecurity as a profession back to 2001 and was one of those hackers as a kid and broke into my high school's computer system, that kind of thing. Finally decided to make a go of it because I was sick of being fired and business is good.
Very nice. And in 2001,
yes.
What were you working with back then?
Oh, goodness. Times have changed a lot. So how I got there in 10 seconds, degrees in chemistry, thought I was going to be a PhD chemist. 2 years of grad school cured me of that notion. Went into technology consulting because I'd always been into tech for fun, you know, sold computers at Best Buy in high school, that kind of thing. And then in 2001, during the dot-com bomb, well, consulting dried up. So I hooked up with this small company, Payday of Minnesota, not Payday America. They're the payroll loan shysters. Payday of Minnesota provided payroll services, just like ADP, Paychex, Ceridian, very honorable work, ripe with cybersecurity concerns. Because what a payroll company does is take a big pot of a company's money and move it into a bunch of little pots of the employees and the HR benefits and the retirement stuff and taxes and so on. What a magical place for a cyber criminal to hide. You know, find one of our clients with more than 1,000 employees and make up a janitor. See how long it takes someone to catch on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wait till one of our law offices runs their quarterly bonus run for $8 gazillion, change all the ACH numbers to yours and never be seen from again. These were not hypothetical issues we were dealing with in payroll. So I kind of got a trial by fire back in 01. And then in 04, the company got bought by Wells Fargo. And we got big, really fast. And I thought I was working myself out of a job, but 3 years into it, they named me the CIO or chief information officer of that line of business. So sometimes things work out. But with that little company, I was pushing more and more cybersecurity. We had holes. We had modems back then. It was 2001. We had a time when someone had modemed into our system to drop off their payroll, and their system had a virus that was turning off our firewall. It was actually crashing our system. We lost internet connectivity. That took me the better part of a day to figure out. But we needed more cybersecurity as that little company. And then at Wells, they wanted us regulated one step down from a nuclear missile silo. It wasn't compatible with the payroll space. And a lot of times I had to say to them, if this is how stringent you want things, you never should have bought a payroll company. But about a quarter of the time, corporate had a good point. There was risk there. But it kind of turned my world on its head. From I needed a whole lot more cybersecurity because I didn't want this little company that my paycheck depended on getting hacked. And then I went to this great big company that seemed to be trying hard to put us as a line of business out of business because they didn't understand what our real risks were. Well, that was a wonderful trial by fire for me to now help companies and audiences with their cybersecurity posture and profile.
And as we move ahead through the years, now, I'm sorry, I always forget these things. TCE strategy, right?
Yes. So companies called TCE strategy, which stands for technology and cybersecurity education.
Okay. And are you strictly speaking now, or do you actually do hands-on stuff anymore?
So I am managing others that do hands-on stuff. I still do a little bit of hands-on stuff. But I'm, you know, it's now that we are in hopefully what I'm calling the ex-COVID world, trying to do a lot more speaking. In 2019, speaking was around 35% of my total revenue, which was great. I was having a good time doing a lot of consulting and a lot of speaking. And then 2020, well, you know, that was the end of that. But it's coming back, and I'm trying to get back on the bus.
And that's what you'd rather be doing is speaking.
Now, I have 2 kids, 9 and 11. So I know there are some folks who do over 100 events a year. That's not me. I'm not looking for that. But I'd sure like to be doing 25 events a year. And need to get back up to that. But things have been going well. I was at Mystic Lake Casino a week and a half ago. That was fun.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Now, as you transitioned from the hands-on to the speaking yourself, when did that all start to occur for you?
I'd always wanted to speak. I thought it was fun and engaging and nervous. And I actually met Walter Bond in 2009. He spoke for my line of business's leadership team. And then I met him in the Delta Lounge. And I think Denver, I don't even remember, that part doesn't matter. But he's the one that let me know this is actually a thing. This is an industry. This is a multi-billion dollar industry that you could be a part of. And I didn't know that. Well, as it turns out, I was at a CIO conference, I think in 2008, and take a guess as to who the MC was.
I'm not even going to try.
Tom Singer.
There you go. Okay.
And I got to know him, and he, you know, of course, asked, can you cook me up with anyone else at Wells and those sorts of things. But at that point, I wasn't really thinking about it for myself. But without even knowing it, I had some brushes with the NSA very early on. Then in 2011, I started with a gentleman that is, he works out of Florida and was a professor in Jacksonville. And okay. He put on a Value Studio conference. And Wells Fargo was willing to pay my way to go down there to speak. Now, they redacted 80% of what I said. I mean, it was hard. But my first time on stage in front of a professional technology team was 2011. And I did a horrible job, but I liked it. And I got a lot of good feedback as to what I was doing well and what I wasn't. And then fast forward to 2014 and started having paid gigs. And that was cool. And I was enjoying it. And it was, you know, $500, what you'd expect. But one of them was with Todd Cohen. So okay. he was the opener and I was the luncheon keynote and he stuck around for me. Now, before I finish this story, is profanity allowed on Cigar Peg Podcast, Joe?
You know, it is. Some people prefer not to have it, but frankly, my attitude is keep it real. Go ahead.
Okay, then I'm going to use it one time. And this is my PG-13, like you get one or two times with the F-bomb. I just need it once. So I got off stage and Todd pulled me aside and said, you know, do you mind if I ask you some career questions? I'm like, absolutely, because I saw him speak in the morning and he was phenomenal. And he said, are you considering doing this for a living? And I said, I absolutely am. I don't know how, but I'm hoping to. And he said, would you like some feedback? And I said, yes. And he said, you have the chops to do this. You have the horsepower to be a professional speaker if you choose, but you have no idea what the fuck you're doing. And it shows. Well, that was the beginning of a beautiful friendship. And he has been a great mentor ever since. He introduced me to NSA Minnesota in 2016, I want to say, and okay. The rest is history.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Now, and let me ask you, as you went through this road, what would you consider to be the biggest mistake that you made, the biggest error that you made in pursuing the speaking career? Something you would have done differently.
Yeah, gosh, there have been so many mistakes, Joe. Some of the biggies. I didn't rehearse enough. And sometimes I would get lost in my own presentation, and that does not look good when you're on stage. And I didn't realize how important it is to rehearse. I thought I could just get up and wing it, and life doesn't work that way. Yeah. I think bigger ones. I didn't understand who my audience was.
Okay.
I thought that my audience were other technologists and heads of cybersecurity, or the acronym is CISO, Chief Information Security Officer. And I thought I wanted to talk to other CISOs, and I didn't understand two really important things. First, cybersecurity is so wide and vast. It's like saying I'm an expert in art. You know, you can't be an expert in everything. And if you're talking to other artists, well, they're big into their, you know, World War II watercolors, or their Egyptian pottery, or they have all these niches. They aren't interested in the general things that I have to say. And the number of vendors that are willing to pay for spots at those technology conferences is huge. So often it wasn't a question of would they let me speak and cover my tab, hopefully throw some money my way. It's they wanted me to pay for the opportunity to speak. And it took me years to figure out that's not my audience.
Right.
My audience are associations. My audience are salespeople of technology companies. They love me because I can give them cybersecurity 101 so they know how to speak to their customers in a intelligent manner.
Yeah, it makes them smart for the moment. Yep.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I've been chasing the wrong audiences for a very long time, and it was only about 2 years ago that it occurred to me, going after technology audiences at all, they're unlikely to hire me as a consultant because they do this too, and the number of people willing to speak for free means they're just I'm trying to whip a dead horse.
Yep.
So I stopped that.
Nope,
That's
I
probably the
get that.
biggest mistake.
Yep, I get that. And I think a lot of people misjudge that as they go into the speaking business because they're not quite sure. And, people need to realize you know who it is that's going to pay you for what you have.
Yes.
By the way, I went through the same thing with the people always said, you should speak to lawyers. They're not going to pay me. They
That's
don't care. So
the
as you're going through this in your life, do you ever find yourself just getting stuck and not sure which way to go? And when that happens, where do you turn?
I have that happen often. The trouble with starting your own company, speaking or otherwise, is it's almost like playing chess in the early stages. There is an almost infinite number of choices, especially when you look two and three moves out and what's the best path to go. I get stuck on that a lot. I fall back to the things that I know I can do well, things like internal cybersecurity vulnerability scans, external pen tests, evaluation of a vendor, contract language. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I've been stunned at how, like, 7% of my revenue 1 year was around reviewing contracts. I didn't expect that. So to some extent, I've just kind of let myself follow the money. But when I get stuck, I will often open up QuickBooks and I will try to do comparisons year over year from different clients, both speaking and otherwise, and
Okay.
see how's the money changing, and then try to figure out, SWIT, which is Joel Block's famous line. So what's the impact of that? Why did that money change? And is there something that I can do to help keep money increasing in an area that it is? Or if money fell off, is there something I can relate to that? And how do I fix it? How do I pick it back up?
So really, you're using financial metrics to keep yourself on course. To
Within
see,
reason, yeah. Day
yeah,
to day, I'd say I use billable hours of
right.
me, of my team, and then on a monthly basis of leads for speaking.
Not bad. Yeah.
It seems to work. Sometimes I've just fallen into it, Joe. I didn't think incident response, which is, helping people after a bad ransomware attack or what have you, was going to be a notice part of the business. It made me feel like an ambulance chaser. No offense intended.
None taken.
But there's a need for it in the industry. And as it turns out, my team and I are very good at it. We caught our first big ransomware case in 2018, and we've had several others since, and they're lucrative, and they often lead to long-term proactive gigs as well. So that's been a big stream that I wasn't expecting.
And how, okay, so I know I'm going to step away from your speaking part, but
Sure.
how do people find TCE? How do they know you're there?
That's a problem. When it comes to consulting, there is one way and one way only: referral, word of mouth referral. Either they saw me speak, and I've had that happen, or they're in trouble and they know someone who they trust who asks, "Do you know anyone that can help us?" And they give them my name. Or back when that company that I mentioned, Payday of Minnesota, was bought by Wells in 2004, I thought I was working myself out of a job. That isn't just a pickup line. And I started networking very heavy in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
Little did I know that almost 20 years later, those seeds that I planted, they have grown. Because if someone's looking for I had someone reach out asking if I would coach their new head of cybersecurity. And it's a very large hearing aid manufacturer. And this CISO was young and up and coming, and she's got a big career ahead of her. And I was the first person on the list. Now, when it comes to speaking, advertising works. And I've done the eSpeakers showcase. I very much need to do the Cigar Peg showcase, and I've been delinquent in doing it, but I should have been on the February 23rd one, and I blew it, but need to be on the next one. And having a good, strong website and trying to pay attention to SEO and that kind of thing has worked out. One of my best
There
paying
we go.
gigs was a guy who was looking for a fresh cybersecurity speaker for his telecom conference and just found me and decided we're hiring this guy. And the first thing I realized was this is very powerful to have those things out on the internet and available. And the second is I should have asked for a lot more money because he said yes to the first number I gave.
Yes. Well, let me ask you this. Since you said a lot more money, I'm going to go to one of my favorite questions I like to hear is, if someone offered you 10 times your current budget, what would you spend it on?
Wow. I would keep doing what I'm doing. I found my forever job, and I'm sorry it took me till I was 41 to actually find it, but I have. So the thought
Okay.
of moving, like saying I would sit on a beach, I would, no, absolutely not. Retirement scares the piss out of me. Oops, that was the second profanity. Okay, I can't use any more, or else we're going to get the R rating. I can't have that.
No, you can't get an R rating for piss. You're okay.
Okay, good. What would I spend it on? I would hire a professional speaking coach that could try to do the things that I haven't been willing to do myself. The things that I've seen, the documentaries on Seinfeld and Richard Pryor and these other greats about how they hone their craft on stage. I mean, Chris Rock just announced he's going on Netflix about the slap and has been honing his material about it for the last year, doing nightclub after nightclub after nightclub. He ain't doing it for the money. So I would try to get some more help to be a better speaker and make a better impact than I've been delinquent at it. I would have a much bigger advertising budget and would try to have folks that specialize in how you get speakers out there. The trouble is I am in an odd niche, but I think courting myself to associations has a whole lot of upside because I've had some great association events. I did the Independent Lubrication Manufacturers Association just before COVID, which
Lubrication can get us an R rating.
I honestly thought I might be going to an adult conference. I'm not kidding. No, it turns
Yeah.
out they make hydraulic greases and oils and weird stuff for the military. It's all the it's the not Mobil ones. It's the not Valvoline's. It's all the other folks. I had a ball. I was treated incredibly well. They had a wonderful AV set. They invited me to the parties before and after, and I realized these are my people, and
And
they.
you slid right in, you fit perfectly.
First try. Outstanding, then.
Yes, we just went off the grid. So, Bryce, in all that, let me ask you that. Do you see yourself, if you look at yourself right now, do you see yourself as successful?
Yeah, I suppose I do.
Okay.
I had a number in mind my freshman year of college. That was 1992. I was sitting at a table with other folks, and I think they came from money. Like they had, I went to University of Illinois, public school, but everyone is different. And I think these folks were getting more in gifts from their parents than my parents made. And I threw out a number as to what I thought like a an upper middle in class, sorry, upper middle income or even lower upper income would be. Like not the Rockefellers, but what did
Okay.
I think a lot of money would be, where most things you could buy that you wanted, you'd be able to buy. Because as soon as you get, I drive a Corvette, well, you should have a Ferrari. That's just stupid. That's not, it doesn't help. So I have hit that number.
Okay.
And I guess from that point, I'm feeling successful. If I keep it up another 10 years, I could retire, but that's not what I'm thinking about. And I guess the fact I'm not thinking about retiring, but rather thinking about how do I get the noise level in my professional life down just a little bit because I'm a little overwhelmed. I guess that's a definition of successful. I don't know. It's hard to answer, Joe.
Well, no, it is a very difficult question. Everyone's going to have a different answer, but I like to just know what people think and what success is. Have you ever thought about on this road, have you ever thought about giving up?
Once,
Once.
once. It
How did
was,
you face that?
it was early 2017. I had been asked in late 2016 to help a client meet a government requirement to encrypt or obfuscate all of their data at rest on their servers. And they had to get it done by the end of the year. Well, I couldn't. But we tried the first weekend,
Okay.
and 14 things went wrong. Any one of which would have saved us, but all 14 went wrong. Three or four of which
Wow.
were under my purview. We lost 5 days of production data for a healthcare company.
Wow.
They were able to help recover Because they had a wonderful attitude and we had paper backups, and it made for the worst January in the history of their company. And I was running on about an hour and a half sleep and got a call from not the president of the company, but the owner. And I remember feeling, you know, just looking at her phone number on my iPhone, I remember feeling the tears well up about what was about to happen.
That and, holy shit moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my wife was in the room because she was trying to support me and the company through this crisis. This was the only time in the history of my company I didn't think about maybe a client would fire me. I was thinking about what if the client sues me.
Right.
And what the owner said to me is she thanked me for never giving up on the team or the problem. She's hearing wow. nothing but good things from her team about my company's leadership through this crisis. And we're going to talk about how it happened later, but that's not important right now.
Oh, love that.
And how grateful she was to have people like me and my group in her court. And that taught me a tremendous amount about what leadership really is, not what a lot of people think it is. And it left me crying in the corner for a solid half hour. But during that evening and realizing how deep I'd in trouble I'd let this company get, yes, they asked, but that isn't the point. I should have pushed back. I should have pushed back in 10 different ways, in 10 different times, and I didn't do it. And I thought, maybe I need a straight job. Maybe I can't do this anymore. Maybe I'm not competent. And I don't know, maybe, but for her pep talk, maybe I would have considered that. Because the money in 2016 and 2017 was not great. I mean, I was able to make the mortgage payment, but it's hard to start a business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't until mid-2018 that things started feeling comfortable. And I hate to say it, but it wasn't until COVID broke out that I started feeling genuinely overwhelmed. There's just too much business, and how do I handle it?
And then COVID gave you an unexpected break.
Well, it killed speaking, which I miss a lot. But it is coming back, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
But look, March 2020 was the lowest receivables in the history of my company. No one paid. No, I got like 14% of the year before. But by September 2020, everyone had paid up, and it's just been explosive ever since. Because the cyber criminals, well, they don't want to be out getting COVID either. So
right.
A lot of them, I shouldn't say cyber criminals, the organized crime, the people that were doing the terrible things that organized crime does, you know,
right.
the drug trafficking and human trafficking and racketeering. Well, a lot of them turn to cybercrime, and it's much more lucrative and harder to get caught at. So yeah, regrettably, COVID has been a boom to my industry, and I don't see it slowing down anytime soon.
Well, Bryce, I know you're 41, right?
No, that was when I'm 49. I was 41 when I started
okay.
the company.
Oh, I wrote down the wrong. Sorry about that. My
notes. My bad.
So, okay. You're 49. You're not yet. You're crossing the 50-yard line into the second half soon.
Don't say those words.
How do you want to be? I'm well into it. It's great on this side of the line. How do you want to be remembered?
I've started thinking about that. My grandfather, well, there's a hint of a story here, but I do have an answer. My father was born on D-Day on June 6, 1944. So his only action in World War II was, you know, diapers, but that's not his fault. That's just a timing thing. My grandfather, he was working in an assembly plant at Boeing doing final assembly of B-17 bombers. So he led one of the teams that would mate, you know, the fuselage to the wings and put the tail on and that sort of thing. Very exacting work, because if you didn't get it just right, your plane wouldn't fly quite right. And that means you didn't get the speed or the fuel economy that right. you were supposed to. And in a time of war, well, that can be the difference between getting home and not getting home. Well, in 1942, my grandfather got his draft card. So he went to the foreman of the plant and said, I guess I'm turning in my notice. And the foreman said, I'll take care of it. And my grandfather was like, what in the hell are you talking about? And he said, I will take care of it. Now go back to work. And the foreman called the War Department and said, Joe Austin's position in this war effort is doing what he's doing. His team's planes fly straight and true every time. And if you want your B-17s to meet our quota and to do what they should, you are going to leave him here because this is where he's most valuable.
Wow.
And it worked. It worked. And given that my father was born on D-Day, well, if he'd gone off to war, I probably wouldn't be here right now.
Wow.
But I think about that because I think his life was meaningful. It may have been early on in his career. He was a tool and die maker after that. He worked for Swingline Staple Company and some others. But when I think about the contribution that he made to a critically important war, it makes me proud to have a last name of Austin.
That's awesome.
I think I want to be remembered as someone that is contributing to the greater good. And I think TC strategy does that. I think on stage, we try to help educate people to not be an easy victim. Our tagline is we want you to be a porcupine in a land of squirrels, and the bad guys will go after the squirrels. Now let me teach you how to sharpen your quills.
Nice. Nice and visual.
That's what we do.
That's awesome. Let me ask you this. If you look forward for the year, is there something that you threw on your wish list, your dream board, your vision board, your whiteboard, whatever you use, that you went, okay, this is what I'm going to accomplish this year, that wasn't in your sights a year, 6 months ago?
Yes. I am hoping to find a way to get back into international travel. Okay. In 2016, as I was just starting out, and I didn't realize how rare this was, you know, like Pamela Anderson got discovered on the Jumbotron at some stadium, you know, and we all know that story with her. Well, in 2016, I had Washington Speakers Bureau Direct reach out, and they got me a gig in Athens, Greece. Okay. And I thought that was normal. I thought these things, I'm a speaker, and people just call and do things like that. That turned out to be a mistake. Yeah. So I enjoyed the hell out of it. I didn't stay as long as I wished I had, but since then I've got to speak in Shanghai and Tokyo and some others.
Nice.
It's wonderful to do it. And that's all been pre-COVID.
Well, hopefully we can all watch as your passport gets filled up.
I'm hoping. I would love like 5 international speaking gigs in the next 12 months, and I'm not sure where I'm going to find them yet. So I don't know how to do that. I think I need to work harder at it. I need to start working with folks that help international speakers.
And now that you've said it out loud, you're committed to it.
Damn it.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to hold you to this. Bryce, in the Cigar Peg, when people listen to this, if they want to reach out to you to talk about anything that you've said or talk about what you do, is there any best way of getting a hold of you?
Absolutely. So on my website, I don't have my cell phone number, but this is not a website. This is Cigar Peg.
Yep.
Feel free to call. Number is 612-730-9897. My email address is just Bryce, B-R-Y-C-E, at BryceAustin.com. Austin spelled like Texas. And there's my website, either TCStrategy.com or BryceAustin.com. And they both have a contact me form. And you can get a hold of me that way.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So is there anything that you went, oh my God, I'm so glad he didn't ask me?
Gosh, I'm trying to think. The biggest screw ups that I've made on stage, that there are many of those where I made the mistake of using the S word on stage. I did it in Portland, Oregon a few weeks earlier and brought the house down. That is a different tenor than Atlanta. And I had someone pull me aside afterwards and say, you know, you are in the South, good sir, and you did a nice job, but we don't talk like that in front of other people. And that was a big mistake. Gosh, there have just been so many times. Well, I didn't think religion or politics would be a part of my life. And it turns out that they both are. Because politically, what is and isn't truth about what cyber criminals are up to and what we should do against them and so on. There are some people who have taken good cybersecurity professionals and said they're full of crap because they didn't say what I wanted them to say. And so I fired them. And that's made my job a lot harder. And I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
But talking about religion and politics can tick off a lot of people. So I'm glad you didn't ask me to go too deep.
There we go. I like that. I like to stay away from bad areas, Bryce. I want to thank you a lot for being in the Cigar Lounge, and we appreciated having you here today.
Joe, thank you for the opportunity. Great to get to know you better.
A pleasure. And that was Bryce Austin in the Cigar Lounge. And we thank you, our listener members,
Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.